Hey, this is Eric Lauder from Play Gears, and you're listening to today's Boondoggle.
What's going on, everybody? It's Bill Bailey with today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio. I just wanted to take a minute in this little intro before the intro to give you an update on some of the things we got going on here at today's Boondoggle. And we recently launched an email account, so if you have any questions, suggestions, or comments, you're enjoying the show, you want to see something different, you want to see certain guests on the show, you can reach us at todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. And as you know, the coronavirus lockdown has hit a lot of us financially. Boondoggle didn't escape it either. And if you want to support us financially so we can get you these interviews that you enjoy each week, you can donate to our GoFundMe. There's you get on GoFundMe, look up today's Boondoggle. We got a GoFundMe that will be ongoing. And as well as a Venmo, you can donate. If you use Venmo, go to Venmo, domain, or today's Boondoggle. And then also there's our Anchor sponsorship on the Anchor app, anchor.fm. Look up today's Boondoggle and you can become a monthly sponsor to us there. As you know, this is a veteran-owned and operated program we got going on here. It's incredibly therapeutic for a guy like myself who, you know, is a veteran with PTSD and anxiety. Just gets me out there talking with people and gets me out of my comfort zone. And it's been awesome. But it all costs us, you know, the travel, accommodations, to get to these interviews that you want to hear. So if you can help out anyway, we truly appreciate it. Also, please follow us on social media. It's at Today's Boondoggle. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Just please follow, subscribe, comment, download the episodes. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, you know, any of the programs that you use to listen to your podcast. Please. Do whatever you can to support us, and hope you enjoy this episode. Thanks.
Thank you for tuning into this week's edition of Today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated entertainment cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news, entertainment information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for tuning into the show here at Domain Cleveland.
What's going on, everybody? It's Bill Bailey with today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio. And I am speaking on the phone with Mr. Clayton Gore from you got to help me with the pronunciation of the band because I know I'm going to butcher it.
Ah, sure. Pulchra Morte.
Pulchra Morte. See, I would have did the ch, you know?
Right.
So, good thing I asked. Pulchra Morte. Now, of course, I've been thinking once I said that, like, what exactly is the meaning behind the name of the band?
We were, you know, as you're kind of searching for band names and something that makes sense with what you're trying to do, you know, our idea was to kind of write, you know, music that has, you know, some hooks and some melodies and, you know, sorrowful emotion there. So it's, you know, kind of this beautiful music, but still very much death metal. So Beautiful Death is really the translation of Pulchra Morte, and it made sense for what we were trying to do.
Oh, great. I see. So, you know, usually when I have artists on here, I like to get a little quick background about the individual themselves. And I wanted to ask, like, little Clayton, like, what did you originally want to be when you grew up?
That's funny. Probably stereotypical, you know, little boy answers, you know, cowboy, fireman, astronaut. I never really thought that, you know, being a musician was a thing that could happen, you know, for a career. And really, you know, for what I'm doing and this type of music isn't, you know, we're not making money, livable money or anything doing this. But, you know, I grew up in a small town and there wasn't really any kind of live venues for bands beyond, you know, the Knights of Columbus Hall and wedding receptions, right? So it wasn't until a little later in my life that I realized, you know, hey, you can actually be in a band and play some music. It's not just something that magically appears on the radio.
You know, it's kind of funny you mentioned the Knights of Columbus Hall and playing shows there, because it's like I'm currently getting some work done at my place, and I got my luckily my little recording studio thing is portable. So I'm in an empty parking lot down the street, and guess what parking lot I'm in?
KFC.
Knights of Columbus Hall. So it's ironic that you said that. So then, like, when was it that you, like, first discovered music and knew that that's what you wanted to do? And then what attracted you to the drums?
It was probably the summer before sixth grade, when I had moved from where I grew up to St. Louis and, you know, met a whole lot of new people that introduced me to a whole lot of new music. And, you know, I started really getting into music once I heard some of the, you know, heavier music that was out there, because really growing up, I had older brothers and sisters, and we're talking about 70s, right? So I heard a whole lot of Beatles and, you know, Boston, and then kind of later, before I moved to St. Louis, they started listening to Frank Zappa. I'm like, oh, what's going on here? You know, that's kind of interesting. But then I moved to St. Louis in, you know, 1983. And immediately started hearing, you know, Motley Crue and Iron Maiden, Scorpions. And I'm like, oh, okay. And now this is really starting to click with me. So that's when I realized I wanted to be in a band. And my first thought was I wanted to play guitar. And I talked to my cousin who lived in St. Louis and was about, you know, 6 or 7 years older than me and already in a band playing gigs. He played keyboards. And he said to me, you know, the world is full of really good guitar players, but there's very few really good drummers and bass players. So you should look at one of those things. And I didn't know shit about bass. It didn't make any sense to me. It was just kind of a thing that sat underneath the music at the time for me. And I thought, all right, well, that sounds like good advice. I guess I'll take a look at the drums. So my parents rented me a drum set and started playing. And it's just something that immediately clicked with me and I love.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, you got to, like, have a gift for it, man. I mean, it seems like, I mean, a lot of, obviously with everything, it's like, you know, practice and practice and practice to get better and stuff. But, man, I just, you know, I'm that I can't even clap in tune, you know. My rhythm sucks. So it's like, you know, jumping in, you know, into the drums and getting good at that. I commend you.
Well, I took, you know, as a kid that my mom made me take piano lessons. So I took probably 4 years of piano lessons. So I had learned to read music, and, you know, I was always really good at math in school. So, you know, drumming to me was really just sort of a combination of those things I had picked up. You know, it's really just being able to look at the music. I mean, you know, when you first start taking lessons, being able to kind of read music and understand, you know, how the beat differentiates, you know, between measures, etc., and then math, you know, laid on top of that. So it came pretty quickly to me.
That's great. And then, you know, so then you started, you know, when did you start first, like, playing in bands? I mean, start, like, with some friends and in the garage, the basic stuff, and then
pretty much right away my neighbor across the street played guitar. So we started getting together, and he would play, you know, we played like Scorpion songs, or, you know, what we thought was a Scorpion song, which, looking back, I'm sure it was just awful, you know, and maybe some Motley Crue or something. That was about the extent of his abilities at the time. And then one of my other friends, my good friend, played bass. He you know, went and bought a bass and figured he'd start playing bass. So for a while, it was me and a bass player and then a vocalist, and we would record into kind of a boom box. We just sat in the middle of the room, and the vocalist would just stand right in front of it and just scream at it, you know, while we were playing bass and drums in the background. It was pretty hilarious. So, you know, just trying to figure out what works and put something together that we could actually do for fun. But then, you know, fast forward a couple of years, and I found a guy that was really good at guitar, and we kind of got in the band together pretty quickly. He knew a bass player and a vocalist, so I did this band that was really sort of a, I don't know what you call it, like speed punk. I mean, it was sort of Napalm Death influence, but also, you know, punk like Life Sentence or COC. We called it Dane Bramage. Had no idea that pretty much at the exact same time, Dave Grohl was in a band halfway across the country with the same name. So I found that out many years later. Nice. But anyway, we played, you know, all originals, except we did do one cover song, Earache My Eye from Cheech and Chong. It was just ridiculous.
That's great.
And we started playing some gigs locally, some local gigs, and then we opened for like Adrenaline Overdose, and we had a gig that we were supposed to play with Life Sentence. It was in the middle of December, and we had a huge snowstorm, and they couldn't make it down, so that got canceled. But you know, we were playing some shows, so that was my first real experience actually playing shows.
And then, like, when did because I see you played in Eulogy too. Like, when did that come about?
Right. So, you know, Dane Bramage was really like 88, 89. And then I graduated high school and moved to Florida in 90. And probably within 6 months or so had met Jarrett from Eulogy. And I knew they were looking for a drummer. I mean, really, it's pretty funny. When I moved to Florida, within the first hour, I had arrived at my sister's house, who already lived there, where I was going to be staying until I found an apartment. Me and my friend both, we were moving down there together. And we arrived super hungry because we drove straight through. She's like, you want to go get some pizza? I'm like, yes. So we went up the street from her apartment to Pizza Hut, walked in, sat down, ordered pizza, looked across the restaurant, and sitting literally across the restaurant was David Vincent having pizza.
No way.
Yeah, me and my friend the whole way down, you know, we were basically listening to Terrorizer and Morbid Angel and, you know, Matab and, you know, Dice, The Accused. So pretty much five tapes on rotation. And I'm like, holy shit, that's David Vincent. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't know if I can swear. Sorry.
Yeah, you can. That's good.
Okay, great. So yeah, we're like, holy shit, that's David Vincent. And we were like all fanboying out. We're like, oh my God, you know, we got to go say something. We don't know if we'll ever have this opportunity. So I went over there and introduced myself and said, you know, big fans, et cetera. So we chatted a little bit. And he said, hey, you know, we're rehearsing tomorrow. Why don't you guys come out and check it out? We're like, okay. So really, within the first hour of being in Florida, I had met somebody that, you know, was in one of my favorite bands of all time and, you know, had a friendship there and started watching them rehearse, et cetera. So, you know, 6 months or so later, Pete told me about his friend, Jarrett, who was in this band Eulogy, and they were looking for a drummer. And I should go check them out. So, yeah, that's kind of how we hooked up. And then, you know, by the end of 91, 92, you know, we were tracking the demo Dismal at Morrisound.
Wow, that's incredible. It's like you had an angel looking out for you, a morbid one, but I mean, still.
Yeah, that's good. Everything just kind of came together.
Yeah, that's awesome. Is like Florida is at home right now?
No, I moved back to St. Louis area in 96 after Eulogy kind of fell apart.
Okay.
And, you know, I was, you know, we in Eulogy had really kind of been burned by our record label, and it was just, it sort of just had, you know, one catastrophe after another, and eventually the band fell apart. So I just was kind of burnt on the whole metal scene and, you know, living hard and fast in the death metal capital of the world, as they said at the time, was, you know, it takes a toll on you. So I moved back to St. Louis in 96 and, you know, really kind of took about 4 or 5 years off, let's say. I didn't have anywhere to play drums and really kind of any desire at that point to continue doing what I was doing. And I didn't really listen to metal or what was going on, you know, with metal for several years. It just, I was burnt.
Yeah,
but
gotcha.
You know, then it just, the lure of staring at my drums, and I started listening to, you know, some newer metal. I'm like, man, there's some good things going on here, and I felt like I still had, you know, a lot more to say. So started playing my drums again, and one of my friends in St. Louis actually owned a rehearsal studio, so I was able to get a room there and was jamming by myself for, you know, a year or so. And then I found out this band Harkonnen that was looking for a drummer, so ended up jamming with them.
Okay. So yeah, it's a shame when, you know, the business end can kind of like just extinguish that flame of desire and creativity, you know?
And it's, yeah, it was really brutal.
You were able to get it back, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It just, I mean, we had recorded that EP, The Essence, and felt like it was, you know, really great. And then we're kind of held captive by our label, who, you know, never held up their end of the contract as far as putting it out and when they were going to put it out and how many copies they were going to press. And we really had no recourse because it was a label that was based in Holland. So, you know, legally there was anything that we could do would have been prohibitively expensive. And, you know, personally, it wasn't something that we could just drive down the street and handle. Right. So it yeah. just, it became
it's an expensive plane ticket to go handle things.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, that's right. Exactly. But that not coming out when it was supposed to cost us, you know, like the Cannibal Corpse Sam Ale tour, you know, there was talk of maybe getting on that. But then, you know, Metal Blade was like, well, you don't have any product out. So we were like, oh, fuck, you know, so that kind of got screwed. So it was just sort of, like I said, sort of a parade of errors there towards the end of Eulogy.
Gotcha. And so now you got your band going now, and you're working with Transcending Records. I mean, after all this experience, what's how's it been working with Transcending?
Transcending's been great. I mean, that's something that, you know, we had looked at several different labels for a while. Had talked to, you know, various labels about, you know, kind of what we were trying to do and what we wanted to accomplish and what we really wanted out of a record label. Because really, I mean, the musical industry landscape has completely changed from, you know, 20 years ago or even 5 years ago, right? So yeah. I think kind of what we were looking for out of a label, we just were pretty far apart from some of the other major labels we were talking to, and then started seeing that Transcending was doing some very interesting things. So, you know, hit up Mike there at Transcending and started talking to him about what we wanted to do and, you know, what he was trying to accomplish, and it really felt like we were on the same page. You know, so it turned out to be a good deal. So we came to an agreement there for this second album of ours.
Yeah. So let's talk about the album now. Ex Rosa Ceremonia. All right, did I get that right?
Yeah, very good.
All right. And what's the meaning behind that title?
You know, the lyrical content and of the album is something that Adam Clemens, who's, you know, joined the band, who's in a bunch of other bands, really, like Skeleton Witch, Wolfhammer, etc. You know, we talked to Adam about some of the ideas and concepts that we were really kind of focusing on when we wrote the music, and, you know, kind of told him some of the things we would like for him to kind of look into and focus on. And he came back with really, you know, great lyrical concepts, and it was really in line with what we were trying to do. And the title track, Ex Rosa Ceremonia, you know, the Rose of Ceremony is something that just, as we were kind of going through everything, jumped out as being really what should be the title track. So I think it just made sense. And then sort of coincidentally, as we were looking for, you know, what we were going to do for cover art, we came across this piece by Brian Sheehan, who had done, you know, the Wolfhammer cover art for their last album. And the piece that he had, as we were kind of browsing through his catalog, he had actually called Ex Rosa Ceremonia. So they're like, holy shit, you know, everything just kind of fell into place and it just made sense.
Once again, right?
All
the synchronicities, man. That's awesome. And then that's
apologies if you're hearing some noise. I'm actually, we're at the studio today, these next few days, rehearsing and maybe recording a couple things here. So I'm in the upstairs portion, but they're doing drum sounds downstairs while I'm on the call. So
yeah,
apologies for the noise.
I was hearing that and I was like, man, he sounds like his dog's got like a really bad allergies or something.
Yeah, I guess they've got a stand-in drummer to get some drum sounds down there.
Gotcha. All right. Well, at least it's not what I was thinking. I was going to ask, I was like, dude, what the hell is going on with your dog?
Yeah. Normally I'd go outside, but I think it's like 20 degrees here. So.
No, I know, man. It friggin' definitely dropped up here in Cleveland, too. And,
Hey, baby. This is Double D, also known as Dream Daddy. And I gotta tell y'all something about our new sponsorship here at today's Boondoggle. And the name is Dream Nutrition. So if you're looking to empower your human vitality, well, then you've come to the right place. With over 12 years of combined experience in cannabinoids and terpene products, Dream Nutrition products include CBD oils, patches, proteins, and so much more. The endocannabinoid system is believed to have involvement in regulating physiological and cognitive processes, including the immune system, appetite, pain sensation, mood, memory, and in mediating the pharmacological effects of cannabis. Support this veteran-owned and operated company today, and today's Boondoggle fans will receive 10% off their orders when using the promo code BOONDOG10 at checkout. That's BOONDOG10 at checkout. So go to the link. That's dreamnutrition.com/discount/boondog10. And remember, dream is not spelled like Dream Daddy. It's spelled DREEM. And start saving today because you deserve to feel your best. And you know that's right. So tell them Dream Daddy and your friends from today's Boondog sent you.
Yeah, I gotcha. So November 6th, the album's out. Is there like a particular song? I know seems like it might be like light years away, but when you're able to play live again in front of a crowd, is there a particular song on this album that you're really looking forward to playing live?
Yeah, I mean, this is certainly a shitty situation. You know, we had planned on doing some touring earlier this year with 1349 and just, you know, as with everyone, it just kind of blew up in our faces here. So we'd love to get out there and play as soon as it's feasible to do so. As far as the songs, I mean, these are all really fun songs to play. I would think something like, you know, The Archer in the News or To Suffer the Way You Do will be something that I think both come across very well live. And of course, Serpent's Choir, which we had released as a single, I think last month, is, you know, just sort of built in for crowd participation, right? So I think it'll be fun.
Yeah. I was checking it out and I really dig Prince Among the Shadows and Locust Humanity was the other one I was like really getting into.
Awesome. So. Thanks. Yeah. Locust was actually the first song that we wrote for this album and we started writing it pretty much immediately after recording the first album. So I think the first album came out in February of 2019, and by that time we already had 3 songs for the next album.
That's great. So like, what can fans of the first album expect, you know, with this one? Just like a continuation?
Yeah, you know, we don't really have any kind of preconceived notions of what we're going to do next. We just kind of write. You know, Jeff is really the primary songwriter, and we just tell them, look, you know, whatever you're feeling, whatever comes out of those fingers and out of that beautiful head of yours, just record it and let's see where it takes us on the journey, and just kind of let the song speak for itself and, you know, come together as it wants to and arrive in the final form the way it should. So, you know, I'd say that the first album really felt like we wanted to come out and kind of make a point that, you know, there was an era of kind of that more doomy side of death metal in the late 80s, early 90s that kind of got really jumped over as things like black metal started coming up on the rise and death metal started just getting, you know, harder, faster, more technical, that just kind of got left over and sort of left in the dust. I mean, there's certainly bands that have continued that throughout the years, but some of the, you know, my favorite albums at the time, like, you know, Paradise Lost Gothic and first couple of My Dying Bride records were on heavy rotation. That sort of style, just, I didn't see anybody doing it anymore. So we wanted to come out and make a point that, you know, let's do something kind of more, you know, back along those lines where the focus was on, you know, songwriting, not riff writing. So I felt like the first album, we kind of wore those influences on our sleeve and made a very solid point, and it was kind of on the nose. I think this album really is something we wanted to kind of pull people deeper into, not just us putting our voice, sort of translating, you know, what that era of albums meant to us, but more expressing who we are, you know, as Pulcra Morte, and kind of putting a period or exclamation point at the end of, you know, our sound.
Gotcha. Now, I know we're running short on time here, but I wanted to ask you some of the questions that I normally ask the people I have on here.
Sure.
Go through a few of those, but is there like a particular song that you feel has inspired you in life? Like, you know, whenever something that's like been a go-to for you, whenever like you're either down and out and need a pick me up or whatever, any extra boost of motivation.
Man, I listen to so many different kinds of music, and I've found over the years that, you know, there's definitely albums or at the very least songs that fit, you know, whatever mood I'm in. I can find the right music to kind of be a soundtrack to that and either, you know, enhance or, you know, amplify the mood or kind of pull me the opposite direction if I'm too far down any given rabbit hole. So, you know, I'd say really lately, as far as getting ready to go play drums and kind of getting amped up, I usually will put on Defleshed Reclaim the Beat from 2005. I mean, I think that's almost a perfect album. It's just so aggressive and angry, and the production is just something that's pretty seductive too. And I was sad that they broke up, but looking at some of Matt's posts lately, it looks like maybe they're doing something again, so we'll see.
Yeah, I hope so. Everybody's anxious to release somehow, you know.
Right.
So what's like the last book that you've read?
Over the previous few months, I actually went and reread the existing George R. R. Martin Game of Thrones series books. Wrapped that up a few months ago. Now I'm reading the sort of, you know, illustrated history of Westeros, which is this giant book that is sort of a compendium and a prehistory of the Game of Thrones eras. So I've been going through that. Really, other than that, kind of looking at some of the different manga that's out there, I really get into some of that kind of stuff. And my son is super into that too. So he turns me on to kind of newer titles because, you know, I have collected comics for ages and I worked at a comic book store when I was in high school. But, you know, over the years, you kind of lose touch with that. But he's all about it right now. So he'll always kind of turn me on to new titles.
That's great. Yeah, I've got a comic collection like stored up. I'm telling my kids that's your you know, investing in your future there.
Right. That's your college fund.
Yeah. And You know, and I mean, I got two daughters, so they didn't really get into like reading them or anything like that, which would have been nice. But they did get into the going to see the Marvel movies and stuff like that with me. So that was sweet.
Yeah.
And then three people that it have inspired you or you can credit for making you the person you are today.
Well, I mean, obviously I wouldn't be here without my parents and really, you know, my dad, especially as I got older and started having my own kids, is someone that, you know, I've tried to model my life after. You know, I'd say too, I wouldn't be here playing drums, you know, as interested as I am in it. Spent all these years playing drums if it weren't for, you know, the inspiration left behind by guys like John Bonham, who's just, you know, endlessly inspiring. And probably my high school physics teacher is somebody that always comes to mind. You know, it's just the way that he interacted with the students and really tried to simplify some of the concepts enough to the point where even the average student could apply it to their daily life. You know, that's somebody that really got me more interested in physics and some of the higher concepts there that drove me to want to move to a college that had some of those majors. So that's what led me to Tampa, which kind of put me on the path towards this whole, you know, death metal career, if you want to call it that.
That's great. Yeah, man. I mean, this country definitely needs more inspiring teachers for sure.
Yeah, then, agreed.
And then favorite toy as a child?
Evel Knievel stunt cycle.
Yes.
Always.
Oh,
always.
My God. That is the, I swear, you're like the seventh, I think, interview I've done where it's been Evel Knievel stunt cycle.
No shit.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, that yeah, is I would the go-to, actually, man.
When I was a kid, I lived in this house that had a wraparound porch, and my bedroom was on the second floor, and I would go out on the roof. I took the screen off my window, and I'd go on the roof and build a little ramp and just rev him up as far as he could go and smash it down. He'd go flying off the roof onto the sidewalk below, and every single time landed on his wheels and drove away. I mean, the guy was flawless.
Even the toy, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. Any message that you have for our military members currently serving overseas?
I know it's cliche, but, you know, I truly mean it. Thank you for your service. I think it's, you know, something that a lot of my family members, my brother, my dad, my uncle, my grandfather, have all served. And, you know, it's something that not only helps meld the spirit of the nation and, you know, as far as unity, at least it used to. But it's something that, you know, the people that are most vocal about freedoms and freedom of speech should really appreciate what exactly that means and the sacrifices that went into getting us to the point where we can live that way.
Amen, man. Amen. Before I let you go, since we got that good rhythm going on in the background. If anybody wanted to support the band in the meantime, you know, check out the new album and all that, or buy any merch or whatnot, where would you send them?
Yeah. Pulcramorte.bandcamp.com. If you just search Pulcramorte, it'll probably take you to our website, which has links to that. You can buy our release digitally directly from us. I think we've got a few, maybe a handful of the physical copies left of the different variants on vinyl. But when we sell out, Transcending Records also has plenty of copies for sale still. You can buy directly from them. But again, the digital stuff, if you're not in physically collecting, you can get directly from us at pulcramorte.bandcamp.com. And that's also where all of the rest of our merch lives. And in fact, we're going to be dropping three new shirt designs on Friday for the album release. So there'll be plenty of ways to physically show your support for the band. And we really appreciate it. You know, I know there's a lot of new music out there and a lot of good music, and it's difficult to kind of get somebody's attention. But I just ask that you just click play and just check it out once. And if you don't like it, cool, move on. I thank you for at least checking it out, but I got I got a feeling I think you'll like what you hear.
Yeah, like I said, I was digging the album when I was checking it out. All right, so I'm going to get ready to wrap up and let you go. But do you mind doing a quick promo ID for the show before you go?
Yeah, sure. Let me see if I can get in this room here so you got some quiet. Well, this is about as quiet as it gets.
All right. Yeah, just introduce yourself, who you're with, and you're listening to Today's Boondoggle.
Okay. This is Clayton Gore from Pulcra Morte, and you're listening to Today's Boondoggle.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate your time. And yeah, good luck with everything. And hopefully, you know, we'll get through this and I'll see you out on the road soon.
Hey, that sounds great, man. Thanks for your time today. It was good talking to you. Enjoy the rest of your week.
All right, man. You too. Bye-bye.
VFW Story, brought to you by Today's Boondoggle.
The hydraulics class, the hydraulics school we go to, they send us to, now we're going to go do, instead of going to the reserve center, we're going to hydraulics.
Oh, that was funny, man.
Out Marine.
Marine Community College.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
So they sent us to,
sent
us to school. It was the first day, the guy's up there to start the class, and he's like, oh, the physics of this, and then you take it. Tim gets him outside. You know, they got smoke breaks, baby. Right? Tim gets this professor outside. He's like, look, I'm this class.
From here, this point forward.
You lost us completely on all that. We're all dummies. We don't know none of that stuff.
What was funny is this instructor goes,
you're going to have to break this class down for us idiots.
He goes, can anybody tell me where mercury comes from? Hayden raises his hand, right? He goes, do you know where it comes from? Yeah. He goes, where's it come from? He says, fish. Fish in Lake Erie.
Close.
And then
he lost the song when he said there's no such thing as suction.
Right.
Wait a minute.
He was teaching theory.
Yeah.
From.
He's like, no, everything's a vacuum. There is no sucking. When you say suck this, it's Tim's right away.
Roll it out.
Take it off. Let's say it again.
All right. Mike. I mean, hey, take care.
It's good to meet you.
It was nice meeting you. He's dragging me out before you get trouble.
Remember Wyatt? Wild?
Yeah.
Jim Wild? Anyway, we're passing our assignments for. And Tim's sat in front of him. So Tim writes on Wild's homework, I like boys, right?
I think this guy was quicker than the doctor.
Anyway, this teacher gets it, and they give him back his homework assignment, and Wheeland sees this. Oh, man, he went nuts. I think if he had a gun, he'd have shot everybody in that room.
And my aunt's getting
always messing with people.
That instructor didn't know what to make.
He didn't. Yeah.
No, but he did. Every time we talked to him outside, he chilled the class down, and it was just, no. All right, we're going to teach you about hydraulics and how not to kill yourself.
He said, this will kill you. I changed my entire curriculum for this class. He thought he was getting a bunch of fresh brain from high school. And I'm like, yeah.
He's going to give me his email on all.
We tried getting him to come over and have some beers with us. He's like, I can't do that.
Like, I'll give him all.
Yeah, you can.
Why not?
We're not your regular students.
That's right. We don't care. You just got to give us a passing grade.
Right now,
remember they had us go on that board and had to hook up all the stuff. The hydraulic actuators, the pump and all this shit. And he's looking, I forget who it was. And he's got this all hooked up and he's going, dude, he goes, look what you got. He had one hose going to one side of the cylinder to the back side of the cylinder. He said, this ain't doing nothing.
Is it my tag is in Maryland for radar plotting and that. It was a ARPA class, a week-long ARPA certified. They had these, I think they're SEALs, there's three or four in the class. They're all Navy. They've been there. What a gig. It was right after, what's his name, got taken, the hostage or whatever.
Yes.
Off the Mersk ship.
Oh, yeah.
Mersk, Alabama.
Captain whatever.
Whatever his name was. Right after that incident. Well, I went to this airplane, and there's four, and they're fucking off. They don't care. They're getting paid by the government. They've been there. They're like taking the master's courses.
Yeah.
I'm only there for one class, but it's part of the master's courses of like 6 months worth of college. They're there for the whole 6 months on the Navy. To take all the master's courses to run a ship, so that if they get put on a ship, they at least understand all the everything in the pilot house, so that they can take over a merchant ship. If they get there and the ship's empty, they can take it and control
it.
These guys were funny as hell. But the instructors hated them. The guy was such an ass. To those guys, because they don't pay attention, they don't care, they don't, you know, if they pass, they pass. If they don't, they're there for the information. They're not there for the, which is kind of a waste, because if they, you know, they get the certifications, it's all good for them. They can combine this with a master's, you know, whatever. But they didn't care. They just needed the information. They didn't need the certificate that says they got it. The government's paying them no matter what. They're getting their paychecks 15th to 30th. And I'm looking at them going, keep it up, man.
Yeah.
Have a good time. The one guy missed the class. He was going to get tattoos. The instructor was pissed because he's like, I don't get it. These guys just don't care. I'd expect more out of our military. And I'm like, I get it. They don't care.
Well, I was in their shoes.
Yeah, I was there, and I didn't care either.
You shouldn't expect it.
I'm paying for mine. I care.
And thank you for listening to another story time from the VFW Hall, brought to you by Today's Boondoggle. Thank you for listening once again to today's Boondoggle Radio Show. Please check out our website, domaincle.com, and todaysboondoggle.com. Be sure to follow us on social media at Today's Boondoggle on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter for more information about this podcast. Support us on www.anchor.fm/Today's Boondoggle, as well as on GoFundMe. Be sure to subscribe, comment, download, and listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spreaker, and all the other podcast platforms. Please email us with questions, suggestions, and comments via todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. Please leave us comments and 5-star reviews. Thanks once again for listening to today's Boondoggle Radio Show.
Thank you for tuning into this week's edition of Today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated entertainment cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news, entertainment information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for tuning into the show here at Domain Cleveland.